Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I am more than honored and more than privileged to have with me today someone I have the greatest respect for. I knew him not personally, but as a defense attorney. And now I know him a little bit more personally as the district attorney. And I will say this. This guy has made a difference in law enforcement, prosecution, and helping. I want to say that too, because I know there's a few of you out there who are painted him with kind of a Stalinist brush. Well, that's not this guy. This guy has researched, he's brought in juvenile justice programs, models that have been proven. And I'll let him speak for himself. I do want to introduce him. His name is Timothy Shergrue. He is the district attorney of Berkshire County, and I am honored and privileged to have him on the show. And I must say one other thing. He has a magnificent wife just like me.
We do. We're lucky men.
We're in good grace. Yeah. Both. We really are. And lucky, too. Good afternoon. Good morning, district attorney. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. It's good to see you again, as always. I haven't been on the show in a little while, but you and I have run each other in the community at events. As you know, I'm out everywhere, and you're out everywhere. Yep. So you and I happen to run each other a lot, and we've had a chance to, you know, talk about what's happening in Berkshire County, what's happening in Pittsfield, and, you know, what we've been shaping for the last 10 months, which is, as you know, we've been exceptionally busy. We're putting in crazy hours in, but we're accomplishing a lot in 10 months, and we had a lot to accomplish.
And just to let folks know, the DA, in when he says he's out and about, trust me, he is really out and about. But more importantly, I'm going to ask him, this is catching him flat-footed. He's brought in a team of attorneys. They are the A team. I mean, I've interviewed his first assistant, and I tell you, I can't wait to get her back on, because she's just a wealth of information. That's the DA. But you've recruited a lot of great people.
We have, and I like to hear the nice feedback from it. I was, you know, we do Farmers Market, and I do Third Thursdays all throughout the summertime. And I saw two women that came over that frequently watch your show. And they were asking me all about, well, who is this Marianne Shelby? We started the show, and she is brilliant. She's she's such a pip. She's like, we're just glad to know that we have her in Berkshire County. And it's true. It's true. She came. She was an assistant DA here up until 2013. So she was in Berkshire County, and she ended up going to the federal system. And she was a federal prosecutor from 2013 until this year. To 2023. When I was running for office, I had a chance to reach out to her, and she had a chance to reach out to me. I was interested in whether or not she would come back. She took a tremendous pay cut in order to leave the federal system to come to the state system. But she was as dedicated to the mission that I wanted to do, which is to bring justice to Berkshire County, to sort of make sure that we're focusing, number one, on the courts, number two, on all the crime that we have, to tackle all those issues. And on top of that, we wanted to deal with some ways to handle diversions and programs that I wanted to establish. Because, as you know, I'm a big program person. I started First Bank Children's Advocacy Center, so those things are important to me. And then, so I brought her in with tremendous experience, and she's already done a whale of a job. She works crazy hours. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't have to worry about it. She'll respond to the call. She's calling me if we got something in the middle of the night. And we've had murders, and we've had a trooper shooting an individual. We've had lots of things that all weekend long, I know I can rely upon her. She's there any hour of the day. At the same time, too, I brought in Kelly Kemp, who's from North Adams, and I want her to be on your show as well, because she's my second assistant. She has got 33 years of experience. I'm going on my 38th coming up years of being a lawyer. She's got 33 years, and she came in. She was in Springfield working for the Springfield DA. I was able to convince her to come back home to Berkshire County. She was an assistant DA in Berkshire's for many years. She taught at BCC, the criminal justice program, for many years. I know that you have met her before, because I know that you two have run into each other. And she came with that wealth of information. So she's a teacher. She's also a great trial lawyer. But she's now the second assistant, which means she's in charge of our district court. In Massachusetts, our courts are broken into two courts, the Superior Court, which is all the major felonies, the rapes, the murders, and the big drug cases go up. And then we have the District Court, which is the smaller crimes, misdemeanors, and minor felonies, but not major felonies, minor felonies. That's the what I call the People's Court. That's when usually you'll see just a regular Joe Blow getting himself jammed up. A lot of times OUIs, or there could be some problems in the District Court. And that's the type of court that needs the diversion programs and needs the helping hand. And she came in with a wealth of information regarding how to do diversion programs from Springfield. Cool. You know, the emerging court of hope. Yeah. Exactly. That's one of them. And how we get the adults to the young adults to graduate into becoming adulthood, and how they're emerging and giving them the tools necessary to get on the right path. So she has done a lot of that work before. So we brought her on in. So she's also, because she taught, she's an incredible trainer. We have run 24 in-house trainings since January 4th. So all the young lawyers that we've hired and brought in, we have now also additionally put them through 24 trainings. And just about every single ADA has gone on a national conference or training somewhere throughout the United States, whether it was from Texas, we've done in Dallas, Alabama, Georgia. I'm sending all my lawyers one at a time to get trained on a national level. So they're all getting up to speed real fast. On top of that, I revamped the whole victim witness program, and it's a whole entirely new unit. These people respond out. They're very well trained. They're actively involved with the victims at all points, and they're having more constant communication with the victims that didn't happen in the past. So you do that, you get better convictions. You do that, you get better results. And on top of that, I'm servicing the community much better, because our victims are getting an advocate right off the bat, and they're getting the resources and stuff that they should and so rightly well deserve. They're victims of crime, so we make sure we're doing that. So the staff is working crazy hours, working real hard. But I can tell you what I like about this is that I've enjoyed with this job so far is I have a team. And they support each other. They pick each other up. If somebody's down, they work with each other. They work long hours. They help each other. And they like being here. They love the job. It is a very optimistic, fun place to work. People, they come in the morning. They like their jobs. They like what they're doing. And you treat them right. And you give them respect. You know, we have a great deal of giving back to the community. Every single one of my staff, not just lawyers, every single one of my staff had to do at least 2 hours of community outreach during the summertime. And they all did it with bells on. Most of them put in 20 or 30 hours over the summertime of community outreach after hours, just so the public knows and understands that they can reach out to us, that we are accessible. We are here for you. This is what we're doing. You need to see what we're doing. We are tackling the crime problem. We're handling some of the issues regarding young people and addiction. And we're trying to do that on a one-to-one basis out in the community. So you've seen us probably everywhere. My ADAs have been everywhere. We've been at every major event, any type of picnic or anything else that happened in the summer. Somebody from this office has been there. So we've rebuilt what I consider a very optimistic, upbeat office while we're dealing with tough issues and tough crimes. These lawyers and this staff has to deal with a lot of trauma all day long. And I applaud them for the way they handle it and their professionalism. And despite all difficulties that they have, they come through in shining form. And I like what I'm seeing in that courtroom. I'm over there seeing the production and the increase of how good these lawyers are becoming in just 10 months. And so it's kind of funny, you know, you and I talked about this last year. I'm so used to being a trial lawyer for so many years. I've gone from more being, you know, I still have my cases, only a few of them, that the murders, but a lot of this has gone from being a player to being a coach. And so it's kind of interesting to be able to do that. I am doing a lot of trainings on the entire staff, and you bring that knowledge in, that wealth of knowledge of 38 years of having that type of experience, it pays off. And, you know, people, my doors are open all the time. It's been, I don't think there's ever been an administration that has the DA's doors wide open. So anybody from staff all the way down to the first, someone's been out of law school for 6 months, they can come into my office. They've got a question, we'll give them an answer. Nobody's above everybody else here. I tell everybody right from the beginning, the receptionist to the person who tried the case, we're all a team. We're all cogs in this wheel. We don't get these convictions. We don't do this job without each one of us working as a unison. You know, and I hate to take Bill Belichick's expression, but I will. Do your job. Everybody does their job. And then we as a team are much more successful. So I feel we've really implemented that. I like to see the smiles and the happiness and the laughter that's in the halls of this office.
Yeah.
When I come back at, you know, after court, even at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I see people lined upside either Marianne's door or Kelly's door because they're just looking for information and they're laughing, they're talking, and they're enjoying their work. So that I'm most proud of. I think that I built a good staff here, as you indicated to earlier. There's a very, very experienced staff. We brought Rachel Aramo back in. She was a Superior Court prosecutor here for many years.
Yeah.
You know, we're revamping and building up back up the child abuse unit, which is going wonderfully. We had a good one last week, and we responded at 3 o'clock in the morning to an incident. So we're responding quicker, more efficient, and we're getting more evidence. So it is a great working group. It had been a quiet bit for a while. This is now an active, live, moving forward at office.
Well, I will have to say this, and you brought up Belichick. I wouldn't have brought him up in the same but Belichick learned a lesson, I think. Your team is only as good as the quarterback.
Right.
And this is a compliment to you, Tim. You come in there on fire, and that makes everybody else on fire.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You motivate. And Belichick didn't believe that, but if you haven't noticed, since Brady left, they haven't been doing that well.
Right.
So I'm just saying, you're a good quarterback for the team that you have. And I have to say this, guys. I've seen Julia at the farmer's market. Julia Saporn, you're not. I mean, everyone
couldn't have got a better person. Now that's a role we devised. That did not exist in this office anymore. She's the community outreach director and in charge of public relations and media relations. No. It was always a public relations and media relations person, but we didn't have a community outreach director.
Outreach.
She is doing that. Now, on top of what Julia does, not just doing the community outreach, she's the one that gets my staff out to all these events that are happening in Berkshire County. Whatever event's happening out there, we try to get to them and have somebody part of that. But in addition to that, what people don't see is that we only have a budget for our salaries and our supplies. We don't have the resources or the money to provide programs. But what have we done? So far, Julia has written two grants. We received each over $100,000 apiece. And one was a human trafficking grant. One was the Safe Community grant. We're in the process of writing three right now, potentially for another $265,000 worth of grants. So that comes in addition. And when that money comes out, that gets into the community. We used a lot of money for Roots Rising, which is a great program.
Oh, yeah, great program.
You probably see them at the farmer's market if you're there.
I know the lady that runs it.
It's a wonderful group, but we get kids into the farms and this kind of stuff. We are putting some serious money into that. I'm hoping to even get some more to it. We got a commitment from the governor to get us some more transportation for vans for these type of programs for within the county, because we have a real transportation problem in the Berkshires.
Oh, yeah.
And even when we met with the governor, we did well with we didn't have radios for our dead areas for our state troopers down South County. When we told the governor what we were using our money on for this $100,000 grant, she went above and beyond that and got us money for vests and for radios. So those are the things that you don't see Julia doing, but she is. And right now she's in the process of writing three grants while doing her regular job. And that money gets right into our community. It's dollar for dollar goes back to the streets here. We get the $100,000, which gave me additional patrols downtown. Well, actually, all over Berkshire County, but we focused a lot, a couple of quarters down in Pittsfield I wanted to focus on. So we got more sort of patrols out doing that kind of stuff. Additionally to that, when I took over office, we had 9 state troopers assigned to this office. We now have 14. So I was able to increase us, and we actually got one of them that's going to be a cold case investigator as well, because we're working on some old murders that we're trying to solve. So we're in the process of doing that. In addition, everything else that we're doing, like I said, we ran a dress success program last month to put people that were getting out of jail, or people who were on probation, or even people that just were who didn't have the resources, got them. We had 40 boxes of clothes that we put out up for free. People to come in and get suits and dresses so people could get back to work. We're helping with that kind of stuff. We're doing a Spanish speaking collaboration with the Elizabeth Freeman Center and 18 Degrees this Saturday, which will bring the Spanish speaking community in. How they can, all in Spanish, how can we help them get through the criminal justice system or through social service systems? We're all partnering with that together. So there is just, if I tell you this, there's a few things, there's a lot more than that. There's a million things going on. But my days are full to the gill. It's so funny because I'm so used to just being in the courtroom. It's just so much more that we're doing, but it's necessary that I do that. It's necessary that I develop this because I've got lawyers to do that part of the work, but I've got to get so the community is advancing. And I want what I'm trying to say, and I've been saying it all along, when I started the Kids Place, everybody said it couldn't be done. It's been operating 30 years. It's been operating 30 years. We got it off the ground. And I've been people tell me that, you know, you're not going to be able to tackle these problems. You're not going to tackle mental health. You're not going to be able to tackle juvenile court. So yeah, we are. We're tackling them. And we're going to keep going with it. But you got to have, you got to want, and you got to have the enthusiasm. You got to have the optimism. Your roadblock comes up, you got to figure out how to get around it. So that's what we're doing. I'm trying to teach the fact that we need to be optimistic. We need to be moving forward. We need to be mission driven. And that's what we are.
And I have to say, many years ago, when you first started that, that was a brilliant move, Kids Place. The whole philosophy behind Kids Place, it's awful that we need it, but thank God we have it.
Yeah, well, as you know, Bill, it's like one of the biggest reasons when I started doing that was, sure, it was easier for me to get the cases tried because the kids were not put through the trauma of, going through the court system and not being adequately prepared. And I also got more evidence. So there was a lot of reason for it. But the other thing was that we know that silence is the ally of an abuser. So if you don't talk about it, abusers, they hide it. They hide behind silence and secrecy. So the more we talked about and put it out in the public and put it out in front of everybody's faces, we just understand these crimes do occur. Let's take it. Take the bull by the horns. Look it straight in the eyes. This is what we're going to handle. We're going to take care of the child abuse problem. And we've been doing that for 30 years. And I'm pretty pleased with that. We're now that I'm here, we're putting a little bit more focus on the rapes, sexual assaults, and child abuse cases as well. Yeah. So, you know, it's sort of been a plan to our mission. When I came in office in January, after the general election in November of 2022, I was involved with Pittsfield Police and the CPAC unit here, our state police. And we began doing some investigations and getting warrants for what I considered 15 pretty heavy drug dealers. Okay. When I took office a week later, we executed those warrants. We picked up a lot of people. We took a lot of guns, a lot of drugs off the street. And then we followed up with each month thereafter. The first 6 months, we took, I think it was 35 guns in the city of Pittsfield alone off. And we had a significant amount of arrests that were people that already had open cases, that were already selling drugs and had gun cases. And we caught them again with guns and drugs. This time we held them. We put them in jail. And that's where they've been sitting since we did that. As soon as we did that, we had a couple of these big roundups together. But these are not addicts. These are not people that.
Oh no.
These are business people coming in from either Albany, New York City, or Springfield area, coming in, setting up shop. They don't take drugs. It's a business. They're coming in to help sell drugs to our kids in our community. So we've attacked them, and they're coming in armed, and we've gotten rid of the weapons. And I can tell you that why it works is the proof is in the pudding. We can't stop crime. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I can tell you last year at this time, there were so many shootings that were gun and gang related. There were at least 18 by June. Yep. And this year there was one shooting in the county. And that was two 19-year-old kids fighting over a girl. And it was not gun, drug, or gang related. All those last year, 18 gun gang related shootings. So we're seeing a big drop off on the gun charges and the gun cases because we're taking a lot of guns off the street. I know that we've taken guns off the street in North Adams and in South County as well. But Pittsfield alone, I think it was 35 guns that we have were able to see. So we've probably gotten about 50 guns off the street, and we've locked up what I consider significant players in the drug culture. And we're seeing a big difference. We're noticing that the amount of drug use and drug stuff is going down. We still have to attack the addiction problem so that we get rid of the reason why the drug dealers are coming here. We want to get the supply gone, and dealing with the addiction problem is what we're trying to work with as well. So I'll give you an example. In those particular cases, we picked up the major drug dealers. There were also people in those homes that were just drug addicts. We put them in drug court, or we put them in court and gave them the option to do a diversion program, get clean, get off drugs, and we'll get them productive and the recidivism with the use of those narcotics. So we did it twofold, one to lock up the drug deals, two to help the addicts that were unfortunately that they were staying with. So it does work. It's not, you know, crazy math. This is stuff that's just so, to me, blatant and simple, is that you help people out that need the help, and you prosecute the ones that are breaking the law for greed and greed only.
And, you know, I mean, but I have to just go back and say this. What you brought to the table was what, 35, 36 years of
37 when I ran in 37 years. I'm going on my 38th year now. Yeah.
Yeah. So you were a DA, you were a defense attorney. I mean, you've played in on both sides of the arena there. And so you brought with you a tremendous amount of experience. Then you had the, in my opinion, please take this as a compliment, the foresight to reach out and bring in the best.
They did.
You can put your fingers on. You know, and now we're at a dead run. And I think what people are seeing and people are expressing and people are feeling is that, wait a minute, shoplifting is a crime and we're going to do something with it. I talked to a couple of merchants and I say, you know, now we if we call the cops, you know, there's a different feel. There's a feel, and I don't mean this to put anybody down, but there's a feel of it's getting done.
Right.
You know,
that brings me to a good point. Is what we've another program that we were part of and a big part of. And like I said, my first 6 months, I was trying to get rid of the guns and drugs and clean up. And I think the jail jumped from 140 to 220 and the population because these were just bad people in our community. But we've seen the reduction in the amount of crime that's happening out there from my perspective within this office. But my second stage was over the summertime was to do the community outreach and community engagement. Main time we were dealing with training. And then we came to September and I had partnered up back with the National District Attorneys Association, who I used to teach for 30 years ago, or, you know, 35 years ago when I was an assistant DA, both in Springfield and in Berkshire County. I did that for almost 9 years. And I taught for the National College of District Attorney Association. So I've revamped up back with them. And the National District Attorney Association, in the month of September, ran a program with the National Retail Association, which are all the major retailers in the United States.
Yep.
And it was the Organized Retail Crime Month. So we spent a great deal of effort and time coordinating with the NDAA, the National District Attorney Association, and the National Retail Association to make sure that the local Walmarts and Targets and those kind of organizations that they were able to from corporate were allowed to contact us and work with us. I can tell you, Bill, I have been at least to 15 stores already in September and October. I was just at Walmart 2 weeks ago. They told me lost $1.6 million in the Pittsfield store alone in 2022. We're not allowing that. This isn't, and this is not, these are not things that are poverty-driven thefts. Those are different.
Right.
You're not dealing with diapers and that kind of stuff or baby formula. We're dealing with people stealing TVs, all sorts of objects, and they're walking around the store with them. But you talk about $1.6 million in the city of Pittsfield alone is what Walmart told me they lost last year. I dealt with Target. They don't have that kind of number of the stores set up a little differently. But I met with them just last week, and I'm trying to meet with every major retailer because I bring a team in. I bring the police department. In Lanesboro, I brought the Lanesboro Police Department. In Pittsfield, we brought the chief of police, Tom Dolly, came with me. And
good
he
man.
Sent a lot, great man. And he's great to work with. And he sent me in each other meetings, we at least had captains coming in, Captain Strout, in charge of uniform guys. We've had all sorts of cooperation from them. So we go into the stores, we take a look at what their security system is and what we give them advice to, how to handle certain things and how to contact us and what to do. You know, it's even the simpler things of just detailing, note looking, detailing things, providing those videos they have for us. So when they now know we're going to prosecute those cases, we're not going to just dismiss them. And they're partnering with us and working with us. And I can tell you, I went into Ulta's because Ulta had a big theft last year. By March, they had about 30,000 in 1 month. PPD sat on the store. And it was Anthony Dayton, who was a Pittsfield police officer. He worked so diligently. They ended up catching three people that were stealing out of there. Now, this isn't shoplifting. This is what's called organized retail crime, which is a 10-year state prison felony. What it means is three or more individuals, usually one person in the car, one person in the store sort of distracting, and then the third person that steals merchandise. In this particular case, when we caught these individuals, it was $5,500 worth of merchandise we caught them in the car with. We stopped them, caught them right afterwards. They cooperated us, got right back. I could tell you that, and then we went public with it. This is what we're doing. Yeah. We're not tolerating this. We're not going to handle it. We're going to handle this. We're not going to allow this to happen. Boom. They said the theft rate dropped right down.
And people are seeing that.
They're seeing it. I'm in Marshall's the other day. I'm in Marshall's 2 weeks ago, yep. And I'm talking with them. I said, well, what are you noticing? I said, we're really pushing a big push on organized retail crime. They said the theft rate has dropped way down. So when I'm hearing that from the merchants, and I'm when I'm coming out to these meetings, Bill, it's not just, you know, one or two local people. We've got regional people coming from New Jersey. Oh, so when yeah. these meetings are there, you've got five or six people per store. That's all the security personnel, all the regional managers that come out with us. And we're now partnering, like at Berkshire Crossing, all the businesses are getting together and they're going to have an association, and we will attend those meetings once a month. But what are your concerns? What are your thoughts? And we're sharing data between stores because they're getting hit multiple times. And we're also sharing the information we have regarding videos on those things. So we're getting more organized than the thieves are, because it's a big pandemic across the country of the amount of thefts. You'll see stores pulling out of California, you know, Targets and Walmarts, they're pulling out of the cities because of the amount of thefts that they're leaving. So we've worked with them here, and every single so far business I've dealt with have sent their regional people. And we're also, they then talk with their people in Hadley area, Springfield, and Albany. And we now communicate with each other about who's getting what thefts. We found one ring where they were just, they were selling the merchandise on Marketplace on Facebook. We're able to identify that. And so they're selling like gift baskets with all stolen items from various places. So it was getting so blatant. And who would think cologne and ladies perfume and lipstick and that stuff, that has a tremendous resale value on the drug market. In the drug market. Yeah, it just does. And so and when we're talking Market 32, they're getting, when theft died there, it's theft for the steaks and for the frozen stuff. This is and booze. This is all high-end stuff that sells quickly on the open market. And you're seeing thefts that are significant. But we're prosecuting, you know, larceny over 1200s, organized retail crime, also common and notorious schemes. Those things we're making sure. I went into one of them in Walmart, and they showed me all their videotapes. You got 18 incidents with one particular individual. So we know this isn't just someone coming in randomness. Yeah. But we're pulling those cases together. We're building these cases. And they're going to find out right away that we're not messing around. We will prosecute you. If you're going to come in there and kind of hit these stores over and over again, we're going to make sure that you get held accountable. There's one big word this office has always had since the day I was sworn in on January 4th, 2023, is that accountability. That's the word everybody has in this office, accountability. And these people need, whoever breaks the law, you're going to be accountable to the community, either do community service, restitution, pay it back, and in some cases, you'll end up in jail. So that's just, we're making it so that you're not going to be able to just walk in and break the law, steal stuff, because who pays for that in the end, Bill? You and I do. Those prices at Walmart and Target, that they're going to, it goes to every one of us. And they, even the store manager, they have to pay the increased prices. We all do, based upon the thefts that are coming out of there. So the key is, let's just hold people accountable. You do something wrong. When you were a kid, didn't you get punished if you did something wrong? Yes. Well, the same thing here. If you're going to do something wrong, there's going to be consequences to it. And we can make the consequences. I offer services that will make the consequences not that significant. If you get off drugs, you get employed, and you do X, Y, and Z, I will give you the breaks and the deals later on. But you got to earn it first. There's no free passes here. Everything I've done in my life, I've earned. And so, you know, the same thing with anybody that's going to wants a break, earn your breaks and we'll give it to you. So I think that's just the incentive that I feel. And I think I'm seeing the results from that. And I got to tell you, Bill, I'm with you. I'm on the community, as I said, all the time.
Yeah.
I'm seeing positivity. I'm not seeing negativity. Yeah. No one's talking negative about anything. I don't want to talk negative. I'm not talking about what happened in the past. I'm talking about us going forward. Let's be optimistic. Let's move this thing forward. Let's reduce the amount of crime we have. I want to make sure people go into a store, they're having a good shopping experience, that they don't have to be worried about someone stealing next to them or around them. So, and I want to make sure that people don't have to be worried about going into Big Y that someone may have a gun. I want to avoid those things. And so how do I do that? I attack the gun issue.
The other piece to it is you're doing it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
you're doing this show. You're out in the public. You're visiting the stores. I'm sure you've heard of this one, dining in. They go in a grocery store. They order a pound of roast beef, and they eat it as they walk through the store.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all I know is that when the youthful offenders that I dealt with, violent youthful offenders, that the crime didn't just happen. It was an evolution to a stage.
Mm-hmm. And I that's why it's so important to get in the schools. If we can we can cut it off earlier, then we don't have to worry about it in the schools. We want to avoid, we want to do preventive work so that the kids don't end up in those things. I don't want the kids to do that. To me, the juvenile court is such a significant, important court.
Yes.
Because if we can stop people and get them on the right path in the beginning, we won't have this problem. The whole idea is, again, is to try to, we're not here just to punish people. We just want to get everything so that people, you know, follow the correct actions and to lead a very promising youthful experience when you're younger. And then as you grow, I don't want you to end up in the district court. I don't want you to end up in the superior court. We try to sort of circumvent that, but by getting into the schools and by dealing with them in the juvenile court in a way that holds accountability, but also isn't overly, you don't have to really punish people hard. Just make sure you give them the right consequences for the actions, and also to see if they can try to make a difference. And they can. And if you give people enough self-esteem and chances in life, you give them places to go and things to do, then they won't find themselves in as much trouble. So that's why these programs are so important as far as I'm concerned.
We have to take a break. I am here. I'm really, as you can tell, I'm as excited to have the DA on as, because he's a wealth of information. Things are getting done. We're not, poor Johnny. Listen, we can have heart for Johnny, but Johnny just did something stupid. And it's been my experience with, if you don't correct it, tomorrow he'll do something stupid or more stupid again. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are also simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. I am proud and honored to have with me today Timothy Shagruti. He is the district attorney of Berkshire County. And I want to say this. There's a new feeling in town. There's a new sheriff in town, kind of. And that is the DA. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a lot. But he's action-oriented. He's not... he's not talk. He actually walks the talk. He's had some big trials. He's got a phenomenal crew. I mean, I know the first assistant DA very well. And the second, I've heard so many great things about, but they're after it. So if you're a criminal out there, you're watching this, you're waking up in a stupor, turn yourself in, get some rehab, whatever. But this DA is dedicated to taking care of us, and I mean that in very sincerely. He's been on both sides of the aisle. He's been a prosecutor with the DA's office. He's also been a defense attorney for many years by himself. You're doing a phenomenal job, in my opinion.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Thank you. We're working hard. We're putting in the time and energy into it. Nothing comes easy. You know, we've got to put the time and energy into it. But wait, there's just so many things we're in the process of doing. We haven't had a lease here in 4 years. I'm renegotiating a lease here. I'm trying to expand us up because we're bursting at the seams here. We have a full office. We're still short on a couple of lawyers that we need to get. But this office hasn't had this many employees in probably 15 years. So it's really, we're bursting at the seams in here, so we need to expand a little bit. So we're working on those. We did a nice job. We did get a decent increase in our budget this past year after I spent months and months struggling down in Boston trying to get us some additional funding. And as I told you, we spoke about earlier, the grant writing that we've got going on. You know, my goal is by the end of the year to have at least another $500,000 added in grants to our community, which goes directly back to our citizens, back to, you know, everybody in the county. And this is a big county. We go from, you know, Connecticut to Vermont. It's a big area, big territory to cover. But I feel pretty good about that. We have been trying to, I've been out everywhere. I try to reach everywhere in the county all year long. Like I think I told you earlier, I've been at 40 different events where I've been out, or my staff is out. I'm sending everybody out so that the public is aware of what's happening in the DA's, what's going on. And like I said, we just talked about some of the programs, the Dress for Success, the organized retail crime, which we've got going on, Spanish-speaking you know, criminal justice collaboration we're doing this Saturday. There is just many, many things in the pipeline that are happening. And they're happening because they got dedicated, good employees. That's what you brought up, is that my staff here, from whether you're answering the phone to whether you're typing a letter or whether you're actually trying the case or the victim advocates, whatever you're doing in this office, these people are dedicated. They're working real hard and they're putting in 120% effort into it. And the results are being shown. And I indicate to you, it's a nice team camaraderie approach. People like working here. They like having the fun and everybody around supporting each other. No one's against each other. Everybody's trying to lift each other up. Let's do this. And that's what I want to do within the community. Make sure our community knows we're all in this together. We're trying to fight crime. We're trying to, you know, end some real social issues that cause us a lot of problems, which is addiction, mental health, those kind of things. We're trying to tackle all those issues, while at the same time, too, prosecuting crimes as lawyers and also trying to do preventive work and to put some social service agencies and work together. Because we do know that we do have a lot of great agencies in this county. But sometimes we got to be a conduit. We've got to make sure that we're all connected to each other and that we're sharing our information and sharing our resources. And I think we're seeing that. I said when I came on that I saw a lot of silos in this county, places that were organizations that were all separate. We're trying to get everybody together and build that back up. And it's really working. That's why I the only reason why I really decided to do this job is I know this county. I know this community. They did so much for the kids with Berkshire County Children's Advocacy Center when I established that. I know we have a great community. This is one of the rare places where you can see the amount of money that our citizens give to nonprofit organizations is incredible. The amount of effort and work that people in the community give back to our community is incredible. So I'm taking advantage of that by trying to get us to do the same thing and partner with a lot of these people that do so much great work. We are lucky where we live. We have so many people that care about their neighbors, care about their brothers and sisters, and they work together. And we want to make sure that we're instilling in that, that we're here for that, and we will want to work with them. And I'm seeing that people are generally everywhere I go, they're shaking my hand saying, "You're doing a hell of a job, and thank you." And I said, "Well, thank you."
I've lived all over the world, and Pittsfield is the only place, or Berkshire County, but I can speak more to Pittsfield because I know more about it. But if someone has a tragedy in their life, the house burns down, their kid gets sick, what? Next thing you know, they're having a party at the Berkshire Hills or the VA or Pittsfield Country Club or some proprietor. All of a sudden, they got $30,000. You know,
they do it.
You don't
see that. Nope. And it's a testament to our restaurants and because a lot of it is the restaurant business. They do a lot for people.
Yes, they
but it's
do.
Really the banks do. The communities do, the investment firms in town, they really go in the county. They give back, you know, General Dynamics, rather. They people give back. And so the fact of the matter, you'll see them out in the community every once in a while doing their community outreach days. And so we're trying to partner with all these groups that, that's why I make my staff have to go out 2 hours in the summer. That's all I ask for. I try to give people, you know, extra time off when we need to, but I like everybody. And my staff, I get a staff of 60 plus another 14 state troopers. I get 74 people out here. I try to make sure that they're out doing community events because we owe everything to the public. We owe everything to our neighbors and to our brothers and sisters. And that's
it just made me think of it. You go into Boston, they don't understand the criminal justice world. I mean, I got a couple of years in the criminal justice field, but they don't understand that we are urban, we're rural, and we're rural.
Yeah, and we're transportation rural. Yeah, real problem. Yeah.
And the bottom line is that they all have their own flavor of crime.
Right.
You know, I was the start of my law enforcement career in Lanesboro. So it wasn't, you had a family dispute, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're it, brother.
That's it. Yeah, that's true.
You may call for a trooper, but the trooper may be in Mount Greylock.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what people don't realize. That's why I was talking about the radios earlier and the support I got from the governors. We're down South County in New Marlborough, and, you're out there, Egremont, Sheffield, and if you're pulling a stop on somebody, and we knew for a while there was a pipeline coming up from Connecticut with guns and drugs, and we tried to attack it down there. But you've got a young police officer, he's 20 minutes away from a state trooper as a backup. So that's why we did a big training in June on sexual assaults and how to work with them. And in October, we're running a big training for all law enforcement on stops and guns and drugs.
Good.
And that's going to help because we're trying to get our state troopers to assist some more of these rural areas quicker and faster. And, I want to make sure they have the proper equipment to do their jobs down there and that their lives aren't at risk. Remember, every single time a police officer goes to responses to a scene, it's a potential dangerous situation. So I recognize that. I watch that. And 90% of our police departments are completely 100% perfect. You see, nationwide, maybe a small fraction. And what we do, we look for those. If we find out there's someone that's a problem, we address it and we attack it. We self-patrol ourselves and self-police the police. Because you have to do that. But law enforcement knows that I give everybody a fair shake. And they're behind us 120%. They like what I'm doing. And they like the fact, too, that I treat them appropriately. And they get them better trained. I'm also getting them prepared for trial. And we're letting them part of the process. In other words, when someone's got an investigation, they will be included. And this is what we're recommending. What's your thoughts? It was your investigation. We don't have to agree on it, but we talk with each other that sharing information. Because I respect the men and women that are on the streets that are in blue that have to risk their lives every day. And I respect the public's reaction to them. But we also want to make sure the public is aware that the police aren't always bad, that they, in fact, are here to help you. And so we've got to really sort of reinstill that. And I think you see that when you go to most of these community events, you will see a lot of police officers on off time, off duty, they're going to these type of events because they believe in our system and our community too. Again, Berkshire County is the old bucolic, beautiful Berkshires, and we can keep it that way. Yep. We just have to keep working together and be diligent about what we allow and what we don't allow. And we can't move the line down the road so that we're allowing, thefts, 1.6 million, Walmart alone. We can't have that kind of thefts and we can't have that kind of behavior in our county. So we're gonna hold people accountable for their actions. That's all it is, accountability. And if you get clean, you get off drugs, you get back to work, I'm all for you. And I'll make sure they get treated appropriately. That's just, that's what we want to be.
Yeah, and I think you do it too. And I think your office and you, because you set the tenor in the office, they're not, if they need to use a hammer, they have the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
But not, and I've heard this from other people, cops and other people, they work with the criminal. Now, are you a criminal because you're an alcoholic? Are you a drug addict? Are you poverty? Are you stealing because you're hungry? And to me, that's a well-rounded DA's office. They're not just going for conviction rates.
Right. We're not, I don't care. I tell I tell lawyers about that. I don't want to hear about convictions. I want to hear about justice. I want to hear about, you know, what I consider success is really trying to reduce the amount of crime that we have, to make the community safer. And if people have troubles, to help them get navigate through that system, get through that trouble and get back to work and become useful, you know, employee within our community. That's what we want, because that's what we want, right, to build our, we want to build our community up. It's a big difference than comparing that to someone gets themselves in trouble because they may have had an alcohol or drug problem when they're younger. They may have trouble. We need to navigate them through that system, get them away from that. That's much different than someone like, say, that, as you mentioned, Mary Ann Shelby. She prosecuted what I considered a major drug dealer this summer, and with guns. He had four guns, and there was a chamber in each of those guns ready to go. These were locked, loaded guns, and they were high-capacity firearms, which means more than 10 bullets in each of those guns. And they were four of them throughout the house loaded. And when we hit the raid, and they had lots of it wasn't a lot of drugs, but it was enough drugs. It was possession with intent to distribute, but it was enough guns. Now, this was the individual's fourth conviction for illegal firearms and drugs. That's why we charged him as an armed career criminal. Because which was a 15-year minimum mandatory, he got a 20 to 25. Now that's when a hammer has to come down, because you're four times now with trafficking or guns. Most of them, this particular case, it was both, and had a significant criminal history. You're not gonna. This isn't someone that we're gonna let slap on the wrist and let them go. This is four times they've been convicted of this, and you haven't gotten it yet. And almost every single time they end up in prison. Well, this time, this person's in prison for the next 20 to 25 years, because there's no way. Four guns armed and locked and loaded with a bullet in the chamber on each one of those guns. That's disconcerting.
You know, and I know, the people of the world, the people of our community, the people of the United States, they're tired of hearing about some lady who got knocked down in New York, kicked in the face, beaten up by somebody who was out without bail and has had a 20-page rap sheet.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to give terms to it, but what I learned from the youthful offenders was, if they didn't feel there was a consequence, then they would do it. They didn't care what it was.
But you have to remember, going back to the bail issue, bail is what we have to assure their appearance in court. Those particular cases where we held somebody, these people were not coming back, because we now caught them the second time. If I put them out, didn't put a bail on them, they're gone. And they're just, so that's the reason why we have bail in those particular cases. And a lot of them, we did have to put bail on, because these were significantly serious cases. Yeah. But getting back to your point, yes, there's got to be consequences, accountability. Everybody has to have consequences for their actions. And hopefully, if we do it, that's why I wanted to go younger. I wanted to get into the schools, even into the elementary schools. Get in there younger, get to the kids. I like the school resource officers, even if they're just telling us someone may be following the wrong path, but they haven't committed a crime yet. Let's get them on the right path. Let's stop the crime before it takes place. Let's stop the behavior before it becomes norm. If we can do that, then we reduce it. And if we handle the juveniles, we give them the chances to make something of their lives when they're juveniles, before they end up in the criminal justice system as adults. And I'm a big believer in giving these people those second chances and giving them a chance to get back on the feet. But I'm not a big believer on someone who's got four times. I'm not giving you a second chance this time now. And now with armed, with guns and drugs. And I see the history that you have and a lengthy rap sheet, a lengthy record. I just cannot tolerate it. So the whole idea is to try to break the cycle at a young age with the juvenile court. And if I could break the cycle with them, hopefully keep some people on the straight and narrow rather than ending up in a bad situation. When now you're an adult, you're facing a minimum mandatory 5 years in state prison time. Boy, that's a big jump from juvenile court to facing 5 years in state prison. So you try to teach people at a young age. Let's try to do that. And in a district court, a lot of people are coming through that are just will never come through there again. Let's try to get them through the process, get them on the straight and narrow, and hopefully get them back to work and become productive. They want to be that way, too. After doing this for almost 29 years in private practice, representing defendants, most people want to get clean. Most people want to get, but it's hard. And I know it would take a year, so I would make them have to go through these programs that would take a year. I would make them make sure they have their license, get clean, and then get back to work, and then help them get back to work. Because self-esteem, having self-worth, that I want to work, I want to be at work, and once you're thinking clear-headed, you're no longer on drugs, you can't believe what great employees these people become. And that's why I'm a big believer in the Second Chance and Second Street program. That's why I go to I speak with them, I try to listen to them and see what they've got to say, because these people who've made amends learn what their behavior was, and are trying to move forward. And I'll give everybody the benefit of the doubt and help you out if you're clean and you're moving forward. But again, if you're going to break the law and you're going to continue to do so, and you don't really care, then we're going to treat you much differently.
Yeah, and I like what you said, because I've been in the systems for a long time, and I can remember one person that they were just, all they cared about was statistics. All right, take a plea because it's got to be a win. You said, and I think the public should hear this again. The DA said a few minutes ago, he doesn't care about statistics, wins. He cares about justice. Was justice done? And when you walk into a job like the DA's, justice, it's a big swath, because you have the person who supposedly allegedly did the crime. You had the people who were the victims of the crime and all of their surrounding group. So we only got a couple minutes left, but I just think you're doing a great job. I'm happy to hear you have more troopers. And once again, let me just say this. I don't know where you found the staff, but wherever you did, they are, your top echelon is magnificent, because they can train like you do, train down.
It was a plan we sort of had, and we worked real hard. Last fall, people don't realize what it was like. I had to shut a business that I had been operating for almost 29 years down and transition over to that. In the meantime, also to put together a good team. And yeah. I didn't even really finish it until, I think, Christmas Eve last year, before I finally got, because my first assistant was over trying a case, I think, in Germany. So I was then finally hired her when she came home. And so, you know, we took a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of work. I have to say that I was lucky enough that the law office of Martin, they allowed me to use their facilities to do it there, because I wasn't allowed in here. So we did it at an outside source, and I was able to, what I consider, make a good team. And then even with the ones that I did retain a lot of regular staff within the office, board staff, but they also knew what my mission was. And I'm also trying to help them have a good work environment. I'm finding that way. I mean, we have once a month, we usually have everybody, we'll do something, you know. But myself, Marianne, and Kelly, out of our own pockets, we usually try to do something for our staff. You know, whether we get them, you know, pastries in the morning or something. But we do that, not paid by the Commonwealth, but paid by ourselves, just to make sure our staff gets treated well. And I think that everybody that works here, I haven't found any complaints, but everybody seems really, really happy to be here. You know, it's nice when you go into a place of work when everybody likes their jobs. It's a tough business.
Everybody's pulling the wagon in the same direction.
That's what makes it go, Bill. You know how it works. Yeah, if you're all working in unison, it's working. And I can say that I feel my team is a tremendous team. I lead probably differently than a lot of other people do. I'm much more optimistic and positive reinforcement. People make a mistake, we correct the mistake. I don't criticize. I try to let's learn from that. Let's move on. You know, I think that is a great way to lead. And I think that my staff is showing that in the courtroom. I think they're very professional. You know, we put a dress code in the very beginning, just because I want to make sure we're showing due deference to the court when we're there, because the courtroom decorum is exceptionally important. So it's even little things. I brought in the speaker from Berkshire Health Systems on diversity. When we first came in, I want to make sure that you don't treat a defendant any differently than you treat anybody else, because I represented defendants all along, and that was a big complaint. Don't treat people differently just because they may have found themselves in trouble. You know, we treat everybody with dignity and human respect. One thing I've said, what we've missed out in the last 4 years or five, 6 years, whatever it's been, civility. It's trying to bring civility back. Say hello to your neighbors. Shake hands. Hold the door open for somebody. Don't cut somebody off in a parking lot. Say hello. You know, let's bring civility back. We bring civility back. It's one step, because that's everybody can do something in life. That's to make somebody's life better. And that's by using civility and then, you know, try to work with your neighbors, because this is, again, I come back to this, our community is a great community.
Yeah.
We have great neighbors. We have great brothers and sisters. And so, and we're a very diversified community now. We have a big Latino population coming from Central America and from Brazil and whatnot. And we're embracing them as well. They're part of our community. They're working hard here. These are not people that are not working. These are people who are working in the restaurant field or in the hospitality field. Yeah. So we have a very diversified community, and that's why I've got I think four or five Spanish-speaking people within the office. Cool. And we also have one of our advocates is also on the Latino 413 that group. So yeah, we work closely with volunteers in medicine, with the immigrant community, make sure they know that they're safe here, that if they're victims of crime, I will prosecute those crimes. And we try to make sure that people don't get deported. I want to prosecute the crimes and get justice done in Berkshire County. And then what happens to afterwards, and we go to the state prison system, that's a different story. But we're trying to take care of our own within our own Berkshire County. This is our county, it's our borders. And we're lucky in some ways that we do have natural borders, which is the mountains, as far as, you know, trying to keep crime out and bring people in. We have a beautiful place to live, and we welcome people into our community. We just want to keep the crime element out, and that we're doing that.
I can't thank you enough for coming on. I will work with your team to try to get you on at least once a month.
Yep.
And also, I do want to go back to your, when you were in private practice, your office manager was terrific.
Yeah, I married her.
Oh, yeah. And there's that too. I always enjoy talking with her.
She's a peach, and she's working for Congressman Neal now as a caseworker. And so that's a nice piece. She worked for me for 22 years, all kidding aside. She was a legislative aide, and I asked her to come work for me. And she ran my business for over 20 years, and everybody in that office loved her. She was a tremendous asset. She was not allowed to come over to here. We checked it. We asked for permission. They said no, which is fine. So she ended up, Congressman Neal snagged her right up, and she's been working as a legislative caseworker for Congressman Neal. So she ended up, and she loves your wife. So
we both lucked out. We married way above our pay grade.
We certainly did.
Thank you. The best of luck. I'm always here for you. Thanks, Bill. Reaching out to your assistants, if that's okay with you.
Yep, just talk with Julia. She'll get you scheduled.
Okay, and just ask Julia to put me on her press release list.
Oh, you're not on that? I'll make sure you are.
I don't think so, no.
Okay,
no.
All right. I'll do that right now.
All right, you're the best. Take care. And
okay, take care,
Bill. The best to your wife.
You too. Best to you and your wife, too. Take care.
Thank you so much.